Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. There are places in some American cities where the police will not go. Neighborhoods in Tucson, Los Angeles, and other parts of the American Southwest that are turning into Aztlan, where brown drug gangs provide a de facto government of sorts. It's much safer for officers to be issuing tickets in the white suburbs, and they're staying where it's safer, thank you, unless forced to do otherwise. In the black-ruled cities of the former industrial East and Midwest, like Detroit and Baltimore and many others, black administrations are nominally in charge, but gangsters are given almost free rein to run certain hoods as they see fit, as we saw recently in the television coverage of the Baltimore riots, where the Crips and Bloods and others were interviewed openly and respectfully as community spokesmen of sorts. In these same blighted cities, there are blocks upon blocks where mail is not delivered, because the majority of the homes have been essentially abandoned by their legal owners, and the only residents are squatters, dangerous squatters, I might add, who would never give their names to any kind of authority, not even the United States Postal Service. Want to buy a mansion-sized Detroit home for a dollar? You can, but you'll be sorry. There are blocks upon blocks where the electricity and water are turned off for the same reasons, plus the fact that most of the buildings have had all their copper pipes and wiring stripped by scavengers out for a quick buck. Where the only power source is a quick and dirty and unsafe homemade power line run across a parking lot to steal power from the local liquor or convenience store. Where what little washing that is done in the same store's washroom, because at home there is no running water for washing or for carrying away human wastes, which are often voided, as they are in Africa, in any convenient alley. Some of you may have heard the story of the group of blacks in Detroit who, when the water in their apartment was finally cut off after years of non-payment, proceeded to the nearest Lowe's home improvement store in the suburbs and bought a faucet, carefully mounted it on the wall in a convenient spot, and were enraged when it perversely refused, while connected to no pipes whatsoever, to produce even a single drop of the water that it was their human right to receive without effort of any kind. This story, apocryphal or not, is a sign of the kind of human beings that are on the increase today, that are replacing the white population, and that are no more likely than vervet monkeys to ever be able to even conceive of modern plumbing, dams, reservoirs, sewers, or water treatment plants, nor to do any productive wealth-creating work so they can pay others to do the conceiving, designing, and building. The increase of this kind of human being is the real reason the water is being turned off in thousands upon thousands of places across America. It's the real reason that our infrastructure is crumbling and there's not enough money to restore it. It's the real reason the economy is in a tailspin. And seeing this, seeing the true nature of the non-white underclass, is something that we have essentially been forbidden to do by the overclass who run our banks and our media and our government. The turning off of the water is a sign and a proxy for the fall of our civilization. In Detroit and Baltimore alone, many tens of thousands have lost or are about to lose their running water and electricity. There's no reason to believe that this won't happen to dozens of other formerly white American cities soon, too. All the essential conditions are there. Within my own lifetime, Detroit and Baltimore, and for that matter, Cleveland and Buffalo and Columbus and Richmond and Cincinnati and many others, were glittering centers of industrial power and real wealth creation, where white families and white neighborhoods were thriving and growing. But when the parasitic overclass, which is even more dangerous to us than the parasitic underclass, decided to throw white working people under the bus with open borders, mass cheap labor immigration, cheap labor offshoring, and so-called civil rights laws, which prevented us from maintaining our white neighborhoods, it was all over. Though the overclass and its managerial employees made trillions, the rest of us found our wealth and our incomes evaporating over time. What is worse, the very basis of our wealth and our lives and our future, our genetic quality and our genetic continuity into the future, is in danger of being extinguished forever. Escaping to the suburbs was just a temporary band-aid which did not solve the underlying problems. Very, very little of any value is now produced in the black-dominated cities of the former USA. It's a wasteland of trees growing up through cracked concrete, falling down buildings, cosmetology schools, liquor stores, drug gangs, check cashing and payday loan shops, and various institutions designed to siphon off wealth from white Americans to our beloved African American equals. America used to produce everything it needed, a self-contained colossus of white energy, brains, and civilization. Now America produces wars and unpayable debt and trash movies. Killing innocent Arabs for Israel, tricking people into slaving for the bankers for their entire lives, and watching pansexual actresses get ravaged by Congoids in 1080p does not produce a single slice of bread or pump a single drop of water, and needless to say, does not advance us a single inch on our journey toward the stars. None of the shouting and the protests and the media coverage of the Detroit and Baltimore water shutoffs even comes close to addressing the real issues. This refusal to acknowledge the real reasons for anything, whenever those reasons touch on racial differences or Jewish power, is another defining characteristic of the former United States. One side says that deadbeats should be cut off, whatever their color, black, brown, white, green, or yellow. White grandmothers included, I suppose, who were sold on the idea that they could live on the regime's Social Security or a $25,000 annuity a few decades ago. The other side says water is a human right and we're all on the hook to provide it for every Shaniqua and Jamal that pops into existence in Dahood. Our plans and dreams be damned. As I said, the turning off of the water is a sign and a proxy for the fall of our civilization. Our civilization is falling for two main reasons. One, the genetic quality of the population is deteriorating to the point where the stupid and the uncreative dominate as never before, and more of the efforts of the rest of us are devoted to simply supporting the parasitic underclass instead of expanding and enhancing our society. And two, there is also a parasitic overclass, largely Jews, who use financial tricks, corrupt politics, and paper shuffling to steal a vast portion of the real wealth still created by hardworking white Americans. There is a third reason also, not so important now, but which will, I believe, become vastly more significant in the future. More and more white Americans are dropping out of the system and refusing to support it. System economists claim that we have recovered from the 2008 banker-instigated crash and subsequent bailout robbery. But the reality is very different. Subtract the billions supposedly added to the economy by the fracking bubble, and we're in a deep depression. And the fracking bubble, like the student loan bubble and the once-again soaring stock market bubble, is going to burst. That is the way of debt-based economies generally, but that's especially true when all the fundamentals are pointing down, down, down. Fracking is an expensive way to extract oil that only makes sense when prices are very high. Fundamentally, it represents a step backward, since huge amounts of energy are needed to extract diminishing amounts of trapped energy from the ground. And the biggest fundamental of all, the racial quality of the population, is also going down, down, down. Ultimately, that means doom for America. The fall of modern America is not a bad thing, however. Modern America is the enemy of the white race. And it is with our race, not with the criminals in Washington or the fraudsters on Wall Street or the liars in Hollywood, that our loyalty should lie. Our race can and will learn from its mistakes in modern Europe and America. Our race can and will build a new civilization. There are two bright spots now in the hills of the ancient mountains of eastern North America, places where white Americans of true stock and with a high degree of awareness and racial loyalty are coming together to educate others and to build a new community that can be the germ of a new and better civilization that will not make the same mistakes again. Those places are Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, and Hillsboro, West Virginia, where the men and women of the National Alliance are now, even as I speak, restoring and building infrastructure so that our ideas will live on to future generations. And so we will be ready when opportunity presents itself for those ideas to have a significant effect on history. And these communities are positioning themselves to continue functioning better and better with more and more capabilities, even as American cities descend into chaos. These National Alliance communities, our national office in Tennessee, and our community and business operations in West Virginia, are in places where our staffers and volunteers are close to nature, where the stars in the Milky Way galaxy are clearly visible at night, and where the grime and the grossness and the racket and the crassness of the city are far, far away, where we can see our place is among these ancient hills and our path is among those stars, where we draw our own water from the earth, where we use the technology that white genius has created to raise the consciousness of the best of our people and help them to understand who they really are, where our lives have real meaning once again, and where we live not just for the moment, but for eternity. Forget the ball games and the rigged political contests that they use to waste your precious time. Forget Fox News and the latest outrage of the day that never addresses the fundamental issues of our age. It's designed to keep you agitated about everything except the things you should be agitated about: race and Jewish power. And the sooner you understand that, the more likely it is we can save our people. Forget entertainment. Forget training yourself and your children to run ever faster on the treadmills of the system economy. Stop being a passive spectator to history. Make history. Support our communities. Do your duty as a white man or white woman. Join and support the National Alliance. And give our great task, the only cause that really matters, all your strength, all your heart, and all your hope. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com. Or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil.